Please turn to Mark 8, verse 33. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Jesus responds to Peter's rebuke very harshly. In verse 32, Peter had rebuked Jesus Christ. He had took him aside and he began to rebuke him. We saw in verse 32, because Christ said that he must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, and be killed. So Peter takes him on the side and rebukes him. And now Christ reprimands him. Christ responds to Peter's rebuke harshly. He turns his back to Peter and looks at the rest of the disciples. They were probably not in agreement with what Peter had said. Jesus looks at them all and he rebukes Peter. And Jesus says to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Literally, "Get out of my sight, you false accuser. You only care for fleshly things and not the things of the Lord. You only care for fleshly things. You're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." When Peter tried to talk to Jesus out of going to the cross to die, Jesus heard the voice of another speaking. He heard in Peter's words the voice of Satan. To Peter, what he said made sense. To Jesus, the things Peter said revealed that Satan was using Peter to attack the Lord. When Jesus was on the Mount of Temptation, Satan came to him and tried to get Jesus to claim the glory of the kingdom without the agony of the cross. That's what it comes down to. Once again, the glory. We want the glory. We want the glory. We don't want the cross. And Satan in Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11, he has the Lord in the wilderness. He's tempting the Lord. And he's offering him bread. He's offering him worship. He's offering him the glory. He's offering him the glory. So let's look at Matthew 4, beginning at verse 5. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written, 'He shall give his angels charge of you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "It is written again, 'You shall not tempt the Lord your God.'" Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.'" And once again, here's Satan tempting Christ to the words of Peter. Forget the cross, forget this death stuff, forget the suffering. What about all the glory? All the glory. The disciples wanted the glory. Satan tempted them with the glory. And we're tempted all the time with the glory also. Shows them all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And we're shown all the different little kingdoms of this world and their glory also. And we're tempted to walk away from Christ, walk away from the cross, walk away from the things of this world, from the suffering, and chase after the things of this world. We seek the glory of this world, be it glory in relationships, in jobs, and money and prestige. Whatever that thing is, we search for glory. We don't want suffering. We don't want the cross. And yet, that is what Christianity is. Jesus is not calling Peter the devil in the text. He's pointing out the truth that Peter is speaking the words of Satan. The glory is the words of Satan, brother and sister. The cross is the words of Jesus Christ. He's telling Peter that he is being used as a tool by the devil. Jesus is not sending Peter away. He's commanding Satan to leave. Then Jesus tells them that their real problem is that they're looking at his ministry through the eyes of men and not through the eyes of God. They were looking for power, for glory, and for position. Jesus knew those things were not in God's plan for him. At least not until after the resurrection. And it's the same with us. Glory is when we get to heaven. It's not here. But we set our minds on earthly things. God's plan involved the death of the Messiah, and anyone who opposed that plan was doing the work of Satan. This is the same man, realize this, who just called Jesus the Christ in verse 29 of Mark 8. 1 minute he's telling them, you're the Christ. And the next minute, the Lord's telling him, get behind me. 1 minute, Peter's declaring deep spiritual truth, and the next moment, he's doing the work of the devil. Have you seen that way in your life, in my life? There's a couple of thoughts I'd like to consider here. First of all, we're often just like Peter. We look at everything around us through human eyes. We only see how things affect us. We only care about our comfort, our needs, and our wishes. And the will of God is a million miles away from our thinking. And that needs to change. The will of God can be very hard sometimes, but that's what we're called to. When you say to our Father, what do you say? Father, not my will be done, but your will be done. We have to learn to submit joyfully to the will of God. I mean, do you realize in Ephesians, the Lord is telling bondservants about the will of God? In Ephesians 6, verses 5 and 6, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleases, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. He's telling slaves, especially us here in the West, there's no concept of us with slavery. Except maybe if you understand slavery to some degree from over 200 years ago. But here's Christ telling, through the Holy Spirit in Ephesians, to be obedient to your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart. Doing the will of God from the heart. We don't want to do the will of God. We fight against the will of God all the time. Men care about the material. We care about the material, and God cares about the eternal. Men care about prosperity, but God cares about holiness. Men care about power. God cares about purity. We are like Peter in another way also. We're weak and we're prone to failure. One moment, we're on a spiritual mountaintop, living for Christ, walking in his will. The next moment, we've allowed sin to creep in, and we're carnal. We're carnal, we're fleshly, we're fallen. The question is, have you ever been there? That's why in Colossians, Paul rebukes and admonishes us. And tells us. See, in the text in Mark, the Lord is saying to Peter, listen, you're not mindful of the things of God. You're setting your mind, you're setting your sights on the wrong things. Look with me in Colossians 3. This is what gets us in so much trouble. This is why we wind up acting fleshly, fallen, and carnal, Some people even wonder if they're saved. To get so far out of the will of God. This is one of the reasons why. What are you setting your mind on? The Lord in the text says to Peter, you're not mindful of the things of God. This is what every believer is called for. This is your identity. Look at Colossians 3 with me. This will maybe help you out from not falling, stumbling, and tripping. Colossians 3, beginning at verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Notice, if you're raised with Christ, if you've been saved, you're raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. You're to seek those things that are above, not these earthly things. God's going to provide for you. But we spend so much time seeking after earthly things, setting our mind on earthly things. He's saying, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of the God. Notice verse 2. This is so important. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Notice, set your mind. Just like you set your radio to a station. Just like you set your television set to a station. You have to set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. See, that's what the Lord's telling Peter in Gospel of Mark. Get behind me, saying, notice, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Mindful. Setting your mind on. Set your mind on things above. Not setting your mind on the things of men. As I said, we spend so much time pursuing the things of men and not pursuing the things of God. The question is today, what is your mind set on? Well, obviously, if you listen to this message, your mind was set on things above, at least for this message. But then what do you do the rest of the day, the rest of the night? See? Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Notice. Because this is your identity. This is what's true of you. Colossians 3:3. This is who you are. For you died. Okay? If you died, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. See? It says, first you was raised with Christ. Set your mind on things above. And the reason why, for you died. It's over. There's no going back. You died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So now, therefore, set your mind on things above, not on things in the earth. And then looking at verse 4 of Colossians 3. When Christ, who is our life, appears, who is our life, when Christ, that's your life now. It's no longer all about you. It's about Christ. When Christ is our life appears, notice, then you also will appear with him in glory. Notice when the glory comes, brothers and sisters, then when Christ, who is our life, appears, then not now. And what happens is we chase glory and honor and prestige in the world, and then we become a child of God, then we're saved, and then we bring those same pursuits into the church. And we come to the church and we seek prestige and honor and power and glory in the church in some way, shape, or form in the ministry. We pursue the glory. We always want the glory. Often, we fail to see that there's a very thin line between doing the Lord's work and doing Satan's work. It's a very thin line. You can be deceived very easily, thinking, I'm doing this for the Lord. When in reality, you're doing it for yourself. You're not mindful of the things of the Lord. You're mindful of the things of this world. It's vitally important that every thought be taken captive. This is serious business that we're involved in. You who have your mind set all the time on earthly things. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 tells us, casting down arguments, we'll start at verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 10. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. They're not carnal, they're not of the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Notice, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. You talk about a warfare that we're in. You talk about a life that you need to set your mind on things above. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And right there, he's telling you, this is like Peter being influenced by Satan. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Christ is teaching them he has to suffer and die. That's what Christ is telling them. And then Peter has the thought, the battle begins. This ain't right. What's going to happen? We thought you were going to do this. We thought we were going to do that. As opposed to taking every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's what we have to do, brothers and sisters. Every action has to be screened through the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22 tells us, abstain from every form of evil. You can't play around with evil. Evil thoughts, evil systems, evil plans. Take every thought captive. And one final thought. When a fellow believer has a quote-unquote Peter moment, when they fail the Lord in a big way, the rest of us should help them get back to where they ought to be with the Lord. Far too often in Christianity, we just cast that brother or sister to the curb, as opposed to Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. You could have just imagined the disciples after this saying to Peter, what are you doing, dude? What are you talking about? You need to repent. You need to get yourself together. You're supposed to be one of the leaders of this organization here. How could you be talking like this to the master? Instead of trying to help restore Peter. Far too often people criticize Peter. And we're no different than Peter at all. When Peter denied the Lord. Oh, can you believe that Peter did that? And here's Peter again, putting his foot in his mouth, so to speak. But he was being tempted by Satan. He's thinking the thoughts like Satan. Here, just a few moments ago, he's telling the Lord, you're the Christ. He's confessing him, you're the Christ. The Father revealed it to him. He's confessing Christ. Now he's confessing what Satan has to say. We have to have a spirit of humility, gentleness, considering yourself. Maybe today, pray for that brother or sister that's fallen. Anybody that's been a Christian for any length of time, you know plenty of Christians that have fallen. For we're in a battle. This is warfare. And far too often when we're setting our minds on earthly things as opposed to heavenly things, we fail to realize we're in the battle, brothers and sisters. This is warfare. Here's the Lord. I mean, you talk about being rebuked by the Lord. That being called Satan, that's just pretty serious stuff. Get behind me, Satan. But Peter, the Lord's not saying that to Peter. He's saying it about being influenced. He knows who's influencing Peter. He knows that Satan, once again, just using Peter as a tool. But it shows you how we can be used as tools in the hand of Satan. How easy. Here's Peter. He's a disciple walking with the Lord for a long time. And here he is, being influenced by Satan, rebuking the Lord, and the Lord rebuking him. So at the end of the day, what's your reaction to the gospel of Jesus Christ? When you hear about his suffering, about his death, about his resurrection, do you rejoice that he would do that for you? Do you embrace his death and the payment for your sin debt? Are you saved today? You who are listening. Maybe you're not saved. When you hear the gospel, maybe you know you need to come to him for salvation. You hear the gospel, you believe it to be true, and you know you should act on it. Come to Christ today. John 6, verse 37, this is as true today as it was when it was first written. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago. John 6, verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. You who have sinned and sinned and sinned and sinned and sinned and think there's no hope for you, Lord says, come. He will in no wise cast you out. Maybe you hear it in your mouth. Let me say to you, you are on truly dangerous ground today. You need to repent and believe, for you're one day closer to hell. Maybe you've had a falling away from the Lord. You failed the Lord. Maybe it was even a big public failure. Maybe it was just something that only you and God knows about. You cross the thin line between serving God and serving the devil, and you know you need to repent. Well, there's no better time than right now. He'll receive you. He'll forgive you. Because I tell you what, I looking at 1 John 1:9, I don't see no expiration date on that. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Brother and sister, child of God, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Lord is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe you feel just like Peter would have felt. Wow, I can't believe it. I'm confessing the Lord one moment and now the Lord's rebuking me, saying, Satan, stand behind me. You talk about a fall from glory. He must have been quite impressed with himself when he said, yes, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. There he was in all his glory. And the next moment, boom, he's suffering pain, heartache, brokenness. Maybe today you've realized how weak you really are. How often you don't take every thought into captivity to the Word of God. Maybe you've realized today how often you don't set your mind on the things above, but you're just so mindful of the things of this world. Christ can help you grow. Christ can make you stronger. Come to him and simply ask. Simply ask him. Whatever needs may have been touched in your life today, if God has spoken to you, come to him. come to him. The answer is in Christ. No matter what it is, the answer is in Christ. If you're lost, the answer is in Christ. If you're fallen, the answer is in Christ. If you're walking with the Lord, the answer is in Christ. So no matter where it is you are, if you're not saved, the answer is Christ. If you've fallen as a child of God, the answer is in Christ. And if you haven't fallen, the answer is in Christ. You haven't fallen because the answer is in Christ. So stay close to Christ. And may the Lord cause his face to shine upon all who would hear this message today. Because it's all in Christ. Come to Christ.